We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
House Republicans have once again descended into chaos and paralyzed Congress after they ousted former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who lasted just 9 months on the job, replaced him with nobody, and then left town. And now some Republicans and GOP pundits are floating the possibility of making Donald Trump the new Speaker of the House. yesterday, a former president of the United States was placed under a gag order by a judge, and it somehow wasn't even the biggest news of the day.
Tonight, the judge in Donald Trump's fraud trial is issuing a gag order against the former president. It bans him from speaking publicly about members of the court staff.
For the first time ever, a former president of the United States was slapped with a gag order.
Yes, this is the first time a former president has been slapped with a gag order, unless you count the time Hillary told Bill to shut up at a dinner party. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I got drunk with Boris Yeltsin? Yes, yes, you did. The last time was, let's see now, 5 minutes ago. Now, this gag order means Trump can no longer talk about court staff in public, although it's very possible Trump misunderstood the meaning of the word gag.
So now your dear former president can't do gags? Can't do pranks, can't do goofs of any time, so now if I tell you to pull my finger, I have to legally add, when you do it, I'm going to fart. And that's sad because that takes all the fun out of it.
But that was not the lead story yesterday because, of course, this happened.
For the first time in the history of American democracy and the first Congress of 1789, the Speaker of the House has been removed from his position as the leader of the chamber. By a vote of 216 to 210, lawmakers booted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, throwing the House into chaos and into unprecedented territory.
This is the first time it's ever happened. Republicans have a knack for creating history in the most embarrassing way. So House Republicans are in chaos, although I'm not sure we can call this unprecedented territory since House Republicans are always in chaos. We've been saying the Republican Party is in chaos on this show for 8 years. We just used the same cue card over and over. And the moment the vote tally was finished was also historic because as far as anyone can tell, it's the first time these words have ever been uttered.
On this vote, the yeas are 216, the nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Cool. So the position that's third in line to the presidency is currently like a roadside motel. Then they adjourned and left town without picking someone. Very Republican Party to take step one without putting any thought into step two. Well, I just sold my apartment. Cool, where are you moving to? Moving? Can I just stay here? No, if you want to stay here, why'd you sell it? Well, I wanted the money. You can't have both. Quiet, I'm trying to think. Did you just fall asleep while you were thinking? Oh, I don't know, man, I'm so tired. So it all ended in humiliation for McCarthy and his allies, which is fitting because McCarthy had to humiliate himself to get the job in the first place. He basically had to crawl over broken glass to get hired for a job he couldn't even keep for 9 months. Remember, back in January, when he lost the vote for Speaker over and over and over again, and he just had to sit there in shame while the clerk announced that no Speaker had been elected 14 times in a row, like he was living in some sort of David Lynchian nightmare.
A speaker has not been elected. A speaker has not been elected. A speaker has not been elected. A speaker has not.
A speaker has not.
A speaker has not.
Has not.
Has not. Not been elected.
It is happening again.
McCarthy finally got the job on the 15th try after making a bunch of promises. Like, for example, implementing a new rule that any one member of the GOP caucus could bring a motion to remove him, which is exactly what they did to him. And even knowing that, he still dared his critics, specifically Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, to try to get rid of him before the vote was called.
If somebody wants to make a motion against me, bring it.
Well, Gaetz and his small band of kooks and weirdos did bring it, and McCarthy is now gone. And because you have to be insane to actually want this job, some Republicans are floating the name of a person who is, in fact, insane.
Sources telling me at this hour some House Republicans have been in contact with and have started an effort to draft former President Donald Trump to be the next speaker. And I have been told that President Trump might be open to helping the Republican Party, at least in the short term, if necessary.
Did he say draft? You don't use the word draft. It gives Trump bone spurs.
Incredible. Only the Republicans would consider giving the job of speaker to someone who is under a gag order. It's like hiring a French mime as your new NFL play-by-play guy. Also, I like when Hannity, who is best friends with Trump and talks to him constantly, says sources are telling him Trump is open to it. So Trump told you that? Sources is just Trump's mafia nickname. Where'd I hear that? Oh, I got it from Donny Sauces. But this perfectly sums up the current state of the Republican Party. Usually when someone's in court, they have to call a friend to ask for help. In this case, he's calling from court to offer it.
Sean, tell your viewers I'm willing to do it. Hold on, the bailiff is gonna take the phone away.
Although the funniest example of right-wing pundits teasing this possibility came from Newsmax. The anchor tried to be coy about reporting the news that Republicans were floating Trump as a new speaker, but it was not especially grateful.
So far, there have been a few names, but remember, it doesn't necessarily have to be a member of Congress either.
That's true.
So
could be me.
It'll be very interesting to see who it could be moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting point. I'm glad you brought that up, that it doesn't have to be a member of the House. It could be someone else. Maybe rhymes with Trump. Who knows?
Oh, it rhymes with Trump? Oh, please tell me it's one of the clumps. House Republicans don't have a speaker, and their standard bearer is in court for fraud. You really can't sum up the current state of the party any better than that. In the process, they paralyzed Congress. Basically, Republicans pulled down their pants, squatted over the Constitution, and took a giant, well, I won't say it, but it
rhymes with Trump.
The world is still in shock over the horrific surprise attack that Hamas launched this weekend against Israel. As of this taping, over 900 people in Israel have been killed, including 11 Americans, and an unknown number of civilians and soldiers have been kidnapped, including U.S. citizens. And as the conflict continues, nearly 700 people have been killed in Gaza. The Middle East is a complex region, but the complexity of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is immaterial to the horror of this attack. It is heartbreaking to see violence escalate, and we hope and pray that someday peace is possible. Now, on this show, we always try our best to talk about what everybody's talking about today, but we didn't even attempt to write jokes about this. The human mind simply refuses to do it. Even AI refused to do it because we went on to ChatGPT, and this is true. It responded, "The Middle East conflict is a serious and ongoing situation that affects many lives, and making jokes about such matters can easily be seen as insensitive, disrespectful, or offensive to those who are suffering as a result." I, for one, want to commend our future robot overlords. That is a rare show of humanity from something that can't identify which photos contain a traffic light. Of course, we do have humans out there responding to this crisis, and say what you want about Donald Trump, and I have. But there are times when you have to put aside your feelings and just listen to whoever might have relevant geopolitical experience. And at his rally, on the day of the attack, he stayed laser-focused on the international crisis.
Hannibal Lecter, how great an actor was he?
How great an actor was Hannibal Lecter? I mean, he acted like he wasn't gonna eat those people. And then he ate them. I mean, he ate those guys' faces like a slice of Papa John's. I mean, what a pro. I mean, you're never gonna see Meryl Streep eat someone's face. That's...
He went on.
You know why I like him? Because he said on television on one of the... I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him.
I love Hannibal. I love Norman Bates. He and I both get very upset when there's bad water pressure in the shower. You know who else loves me? Palpatine, great Emperor Palpatine. Remember Mace Windu? Threw him right out the window. Should have called him Mace Windows. I love that clown from It. Fun guy, always. Carries balloons for the kids. Gave me some great makeup advice. I love him. Also, you gotta love that kooky Babadook. 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 Love the name. You know who else said I love Donald Trump? Scar. Gotta love him. Some call him a king, a lion king. So in a way, you could say I was endorsed by a king, so I love him. Hyenas. Hyenas are our allies, guys. I don't know why we're arming the Ukrainians against the hyenas. How about Voldemort, folks? Hell of a leader out there. See, they say you can't say his name, but I'll name him. We love Voldemort, don't we? I saw in the Daily Prophet, he said he loves Trump, so I love him, and he is, you know, he loves me. He loves me publicly. He's such a brown noser. If he had a nose, it would be brown.
Our super-duper pro-Israel former President Donald Trump immediately found a way to make it about himself. He wrote, "The horrible attack on Israel, much like the attack on Ukraine, would never have happened if I were president. Zero chance." That's right. If he was president, we'd all be blissfully downing jiggers of bleach. There'd be no war anywhere. The guy who claims to be the most pro-Israel president of all time, was in Cedar Rapids on Saturday, demonstrating the deep well of insight he has into this ongoing conflict in the Middle East.
And I stood proudly with our friend and ally, the State of Israel, and I will do it again. You heard about today, the Hamas terrorist invasion.
Yes, the Hamas, the Baba Ghanoush, the falafels. What they're doing is a disgrace. On the day, one of our closest allies is hit by a devastating terrorist attack. Trump is on stage talking about how much better his body is than Joe Biden's.
He's got a consultant somewhere. This is the worst consultant in politics that thinks he looks good in a bathing suit, right? No, he spends so much time at the beach. You know, how do you do that? And, you know, I have a much better body than him. But I'm not really sure that I want to expose it. With the sun blaring down, the sand, the surf, the wind, you know. It's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, he makes some really good points. Maybe instead of an election next year, we just have a wet T-shirt contest and end it. This is Trump's focus now. This is the drum he's beating that Joe Biden, who's only 3 years older than he is too old.
Different people vote, and they sort of are locked into that vote no matter how bad a guy is. If a man's grossly incompetent, he can't speak, he can't put two sentences together. He can't find his way off a stage. Let's see, there's a... I got there. I could jump off this one. I could actually do it. He couldn't.
Yeah, all right. Do it then. And if you're wondering, after all the dumb and terrible things Trump has said and done, if there could... Could there be anyone left who still supports this man? Well, there sure are.
President Trump works for God, and God is all about America. And God is the one that's going to save America, but actually, he's using President Trump as one of his tools. So that's why we support President Trump, because he works for God.
Yeah, well, he's definitely one of God's tools, that's for sure. He's the biggest tool God ever created. Trump has reportedly decided now not to visit Washington, D.C. this week, not to throw his hat in the ring for Speaker of the House. Trump bailed on that like it was dinner with Eric. He is now backing Jim Jordan of Ohio for Speaker. He said Jim Jordan has his complete and total endorsement, or CTE for short.
Of course, Trump doesn't just collect endorsements from fictional serial killers. He also collects classified documents. And thanks to the case brought by special counsel Jack Smith, we're now learning how much he loved to waive our secrets for the guests at Mar-a-Lago. Because reportedly, Trump revealed nuclear submarine secrets to an Australian businessman. Yes, he heard that the guy came from down under, and he thought, well, that's where the submarines are. It's down and down under. He should know, if anyone should know.
Wow.
I should tell the down under guy.
Wow. The former president faces a new set of allegations. Sources tell ABC News that Mr. Trump shared U.S. nuclear secrets with an Australian businessman. They say he told the number of nuclear warheads that are on each U.S. submarine and how close they can get to a Russian submarine without being detected.
New from Milton Bradley, it's Battleship, Trump Edition, where the former president reveals all the secret locations of your naval fleet.
He has his submarines on G8.
Hit!
C-7.
Shoot him!
Hit!
Listen to the former president spill military secrets and say things that nobody should hear.
I have a much better body than Joe Biden.
Battleship Trump Edition. Fun for the whole family and our nation's enemies. From the makers of Trumperation.
I will take electrocution every single time.
That guy there is somebody named Anthony Pratt, and he's a member of Mar-a-Lago, joined 2017, I think. And according to Pratt, one night down at the club, the former president started blabbing our national secrets after Pratt told Trump he believed Australia should start buying its submarines from the United States. Okay? Trump was just sealing the deal, okay? Following the old sales mantra, A, B, C. Always be compromising national security. Okay? It's all in the book.
Even old me. Was once New Amsterdam.
Allegedly, Trump told Pratt two highly classified submarine secrets. The exact number of nuclear warheads the subs carry and exactly how close they can get to a Russian submarine without being detected. Okay, that's not right. You can't just give away our classified secrets. Authorities were afraid that Pratt might have told someone else, but he didn't. He didn't tell someone else. he told some 45 else. Good, and that sounds bad, but he's Australian, okay? So it's possible no one understood what he was saying.
A U.S. Navy is Big Papa Bop and Philly Fishes with Yagga Dagga Dobby on the Babby.
I didn't even come close to reading that line right, and you'll never know. Jason, not even close, right? Trump was quick to defend himself, posting, "The ridiculous story put out today about me is false and ridiculous, other than the fact that I will often state that we make the best submarines and military equipment anywhere in the world. With that being said, I will always promote the greatness of America and its military equipment. We have the best equipment, including the strongest military computers with the greatest passwords, folks. ZF5 Biggie Little E, and then a tilde, that little squiggly thing, the tilde. A lot of people use the exclamation point as a special character, not the unstoppable Navy. We don't use exclamation point. We go tilde, okay? You're surprised I know what a tilde is? So am I. Anyway, once again, ZF5 Biggie Little E, Spanish word worm, Spanish. Same worm that's in the bottom of a tequila bottle. Did you know that? That's a tilde down there. That's what they have down. Chew the tilde, they say. Former president isn't only on trial for passing out state secrets at the Mar-a-Lago waffle bar. He's also been indicted for orchestrating January 6th to stop the peaceful transfer of power. And last week, his lawyers tried a desperate new tactic. They were claiming that Trump's actions were at the heart of his official responsibilities as president. Okay, that sounds like a crazy excuse, but it's right there in the oath of office. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the Vice President Mike Pence because he wouldn't overturn the election for me. Now let's burn this mother down. Another thing Trump's lawyer said that was actually okay, actually, was him trying to replace anyone who stood in his way with a loyalist, which is exactly what he did when he contemplated replacing the head of the Justice Department with a guy named Jeffrey Clark, who is a civil environmental lawyer who believed the 2020 election had been stolen via smart thermostats.
Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani is having some financial trouble. According to the IRS, Rudy owes $550,000 in unpaid taxes. He has a $500,000 lien on his condo in Florida, and he's being sued for millions by his own lawyers. I guess screaming outside a dildo factory isn't as profitable as, as it used to be.
Oh, there's news about someone else who thought their job was overthrowing the 2020 election. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, seen here having impure thoughts about a dust ruffle. Lindell has been fighting billion-dollar defamation lawsuits from voting machine companies over his election lies, and he's now confirmed he's out of money and can't pay his legal bills, saying he has lost everything, every dime. Soon, he'll have to change his company's name to My Stale Crust of Sandwich. You know their slogan, "Get away, pigeon, it's mine." Lindell is now facing tough choices between paying his bills and keeping his company afloat, as he explained on the internet.
We can't pay the lawyers. We can't pay. There's no money left to pay them. And I told the, you know, the attorneys, these are great attorneys. They were courageous, came on a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and they need to get paid. They have families and stuff too. And I told them, I have to protect my company. I have to protect that.
I have to protect my company. I have to. No, 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 I have to protect my company, even if it means killing it. Pillow, don't worry, the pain will be over soon.
Remember in this country, we used to have a thing called free speech. Remember that? Remember free speech? Wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice when we had, you could talk, you could talk to a lady, you could talk to a person, and it was okay. It was okay. And then we had social media, which was okay for a time. And I think, to be honest, we sort of struck gold with the greatest social media called Truth Social. How about that? We love Truth Social. We love Truth Social. We don't do any of the wokeness, no cancel culture, unless you say something bad about me, which is in the terms of service, and then you gotta go bye-bye. That's okay. It's right there in the terms of service. But now we've reached a new low. Under Sleepy Joe, we've basically... The rights, we had rights. We had, they were called rights. And they're gone. They're so gone. They're almost as gone as Sleepy Joe's brain. Okay? We're not quite that gone, but we're getting there. We're getting there. And now what we have is we have a judge. We have a judge in New York who's doing the bidding of Attorney General LeBron James, who never liked me, you know? She campaigned for Hillary in Ohio in 2016, and how'd that go? Not too well. And so never been a fan, never been a fan. And now they're saying, sir, you can't say anything bad about it. Isn't that great when you're a judge? When you're a judge, what a racket, what a racket. You can become a judge, and then all of a sudden you can say, you can't talk about me, that's my ruling, and you bang your little gavel like a total radical left weakling. And he didn't even bang the gavel strongly, right? You know, they wanted to give me a judge show on TV. They said, you're not even a lawyer, but sir, we know you know the law so strongly. And they wanted to give me a gavel, and I said, I'll break that gavel, I'll bang it so hard. And with this judge, just a little weak radical left tap when he issued his fake order. So we can't talk about the judge anymore, so we're going to say fudge. We're going to say fudge. So this fudge is a pathetic... I don't even know where he went to law school, but he certainly doesn't know the law, and he doesn't know us. He doesn't know our movement. He doesn't know the Constitution. Doesn't know it. Isn't that great? You have a judge who doesn't know the law. But he's doing everything LeBron James says. So we can't get a fair trial.
The Donald Trump show is over.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.